Good morning. Good to see everyone out this morning. It's a good day to gather to remember our Lord and Savior, to hear His precious word. I'm going to begin like I did last week when I mentioned just a little bit about this message, and I asked everyone as they were thinking to complete this statement in one word. And the statement was, God is, then dot, dot, dot. What would you say in one word, God is? You don't have to say anything, just think about that. Of course, the Bible says in John 4:8 and 4:16, God is love. In John 4:24, it says that God is spirit. As I thought about this, I was led to do, I don't know if it's a word study or just appreciation of who God is. And I came with a little list, and I'm sure each one of us could do this. It wouldn't be hard, take a little, just a little bit of thought, but I came with a list from A to Z, or alphabet, and filled in those blanks. God is. So let me just read this and just appreciate who God is as I read this. Starting with A to Z. God is almighty. He's beginning. He's Christ. Of course, Christ is God. He's deity. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's faithful. He's good. He's holy or sinless. He's immutable, which means unchanging. He's joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah 8:10. He's king, and of course, Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's loving. He's also life. We'll speak about that later. He's merciful. He's near. Psalm 34:18 says, He's near to all those who have a broken heart. He's omnipotent, which means all-powerful. Another O word, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time. He's perfection. He's quick, speaking of His word, which is quick and powerful. He's redeemer. Again, we remembered the Lord Jesus Christ is our redeemer this morning. He's spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit. He's truth. He's unchanging, again, immutable. He's victorious. He's wisdom. The X, Y, and Z took a little more thought and research, but the X stands for Christ. It's the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the first letter for the word Christ. And also X was the secret symbol of early Christians. I've heard the fish symbol as well. For W, we have Yahweh, Israel's sacred name for God. And a born-again believer who's a pastor, who's a Jew, said it's pronounced Yahweh. Z for zealous. The zeal of the Lord will perform it. We read this in Isaiah 9:7. To bring about His kingdom, zeal means great energy and enthusiasm. 26 letters in our alphabet, and I've listed those and a few extras to describe who God is. And again, I'm sure each one of us could come up with our own list. Again, I'll start today's message, which perhaps could be a series on God is, who God is, with God is life. God is life. John 5:26, we have the words of the Lord, says this, For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself. Turn to 1 John 5. 1 John 5:11-12. And this verse actually took me back a few years. I don't know how many remember the Goodman family, Jerry and Doris, the parents. They were here, faithful to the chapel and the Lord's work for many, many years. I think they started at the old chapel. They're with the Lord now, and their daughter. What's your daughter's name? Carol. Sorry about that. As Brother Eddie Schwartz says, getting old is not for sissies. But anyway, Carol Goodman's at Pittsburgh, where I think her ministry is helping out in the library and different cataloging duties and also gardening. But I remember Jerry Goodman shared this with us years and years ago. And this verse actually brought him to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jerry was a Jew, and this was a remarkable conversion. 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has a Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I remember Jerry sharing that whoever witnessed to him, he mentioned the gentleman's name, said, read that again. And then he said, read it again. And he said about the third or fourth time he read it, it's like a light bulb went out. And this is what he said, that I realized, without the Son of God, I'm lost. He said this was the verse that brought him to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word life is some 450 times in the King James Version of the Bible. There's also hundreds of other variations of the word. Life actually means existence or being. The word life in the scriptures, we have the first mention of the word life is the word chay, C-H-A-Y. It's an adjective, it's an action word. It means living, alive, have life, live forever. Let's for the next few minutes consider various mentions of the word life and how it relates to God and to man, as we find in scripture. Turn to Genesis 2:7. How could I forget Carol Goodman? The first mention of the word life, Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, the breath of life. In Genesis 2:8, we read of the tree of life in the midst of the garden, in the middle of the garden. It's that same word, the word che. One of the meanings is live forever. Go over to Genesis 3, down to verse 22. Genesis 3:22. Of course, this is an account of after the fall of man, after sin entered into the world. Sin does have a consequence, and here it's very clear what the consequence was for Adam and Eve. Genesis 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life, to guard the way of eternal life. The eternal life that God gave to his creation, man, was lost due to sin, man's sin. We can be thankful this morning that in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, eternal life can be restored. Psalm 36:9 says this, for you, speaking of God, is the fountain of life. We think of a fountain, think of water, think of a well. We could think of this portion of the woman at the well. Turn to John 4. And this is the account of the Lord Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman. John 4, verses 1 through 10, and then a few others. John 4, verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. Isn't that something he needed? He knew what was awaiting him. More importantly, what was awaiting this woman at the well. Verse 5, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, which means about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus said and answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was, and who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked, and he would have given you living water." And then down to verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting," or eternal, "life." The word life in the New Testament is the word Zoe, Z-O-E. And this referring to the principle of life in the spirit, in the soul, which is eternal. Another word for life we find in the Bible is bios, which is the New Testament speaks of physical life, which is temporal. So one's eternal, one's temporal. Peter, while preaching to the crowd on the day of Pentecost, just after his earlier sermon when 3,000 were saved, said this in Acts 3, verse 14 and 15, "But you denied the Holy One," speaking of Jesus, "and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted or released to you, and killed the prince or author of life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." The Lord Jesus Christ here is called the prince or the author of life. The Lord spoke of himself as the bread of life in John 6:48. In John 11:25, as the resurrection and the life. These words, life, are again the Greek word zoe, which means a principle of life in the spirit and soul. Listen to John 10:11. You don't need to turn there. Familiar passage about the good shepherd. John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." That word life there is the same word as soul. The Lord Jesus gave his life for us, for all mankind. We can be so thankful. Man is a tripart being, body, soul, and spirit. I remember Brother Eddie Schwartz shared with us many, many years ago, body, soul, and spirit. We're fashioned after the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, also a tripart being. We think of Lord Jesus Christ and his offering on the cross for sin. He gave it all, didn't he? He gave all he had. He gave his body. It was beaten and bruised and scourged and pierced. Isaiah 52:14 says, "His visage or appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man." He gave his soul. Isaiah 53:10 says this, "When you," speaking of God the Father, "make his soul," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "an offering for sin." We're thankful that God was pleased because with that offering, because in Isaiah 53:11 it says this, "He," again speaking of God, "shall see the travail or labor of his soul," the Lord Jesus Christ, "and be satisfied." He also gave his spirit. In Luke 23:46, it says this, just before his death on the cross, he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for us. so that we might have eternal life with him and his Father in heaven. Revelation 22 speaks of the river of life and also the tree of life. Turn there for a minute. Revelation 22. First couple verses, Revelation 22. This is John, the writer of Revelation. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Verse 2, in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. Here we read of the river of life, that word Zoe once again, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Again, tells us that life is from God, for God is life. And we read of the tree of life, the same word, Zoe, in the middle of the street and on either side of the river. I don't know if you ever thought this, but when you read that, you wonder how many trees there were. One tree? Three trees? Perhaps one tree with its root in three places. I don't think we can understand or comprehend what a tree in heaven will look like. Probably not like it is down here. But perhaps that's a beautiful picture of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. One tree with three roots. We also read that the tree of life in heaven yielded fruit. If we go back to the garden, we know that eternal life was through a tree and its fruit. Adam and Eve and others would have lived forever if they had been able to eat the fruit from the tree of life in the garden. But their sin separated them from this life-giving source. You know, God loved man. He loved me. He loved you too much to allow man to live forever in his new sinful state. He had a better way in mind. Jesus sums it up very clearly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We had that on our wall over there. He's the way. He's the way back to the Father, where fellowship can be restored. He's the truth. The truth about the way back, the only way. John 14:6 ends this way. No one comes to the Father except through or by me. And again, he's the life. He gave his life so that we could have eternal life. The tree of life in the garden had fruit. The tree or trees of life in heaven will have fruit as well. Who had that in 1 Corinthians 15:20? When we think of first fruits, the origin we find in the Bible is Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 mentions seven feasts or holy convocations of Israel. One has said about these feasts, they find their typological fulfillment in Christ. In other words, the feasts are a type of what Jesus Christ has and will fulfill. We have the seven feasts, the Lord's Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost. These four have been fulfilled. Then we have the Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. These three will be fulfilled in the future. But if we go back to the Feast of First Fruits, turn to Acts 26 for a minute. Acts 26. Go down to verse 22. Acts 26, verse 22, but first we, just an account. This was Paul, the Apostle Paul, before the King Agrippa. And after he shared a few things with him in verse 22, we read this. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying, nor were the things that those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and will proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Here Christ is the first to rise, the first fruits. We read in Romans 11:16, speaking of this, if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. Truly a blessing to know that Lord Jesus Christ is holy. In the New Testament, first fruits refers to the early converts, those of the way, called Christians, first in Antioch, as the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:23 says this, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, eagerly waiting the adoption, the redemption of our body. Again, in the garden, we have a tree, and eating its fruit was the way to have life eternal. Now, eternal life is obtained by faith through another tree, the cross of Calvary, and by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his death, burial, and resurrection as the first fruits. That's the good news of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. As servants of Christ, we are to bear fruit, aren't we? Lead others to a saving knowledge of him by sharing his word and by our witness. Those who've been raised to walk in the newness of life are a continuation of his own resurrection, first fruits, evidence of the saving grace of God to others. God is life. We begin in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Some scholars say it just starts out, God. God gave life in the garden. He gave the breath of life, the tree of life. And God gave man a second chance of eternal life as he sent his beloved Son, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, after fulfilling all that was needed for sinful man to be redeemed, to obtain eternal life that was lost so long ago, he went back to be with the Father until he comes again. Until then, we have God's wonderful words of life, the Bible, to share with others, don't we? John 3:16 shares about eternal life. That word Zoe, again, life in the spirit and soul, which is eternal. We also have God's Holy Spirit to convict the lost. He was sent to convict the world, mankind, sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. He was sent for believers to guide, to comfort, and to direct until they are called home to begin their new life, which is eternal. That will be a happy day, Brother Charles. We have been considering how that God is life. God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ is life. There is life. There is life of physical. We can thank the Lord for our physical life, but also eternal. We think of life, it's life created, life sustained, and life perfected. We think of our eternal and our condition. Turn to John 1. First four verses. Again, we're thinking of the life of a believer, different stages. Life created in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word, I'm sorry, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Life created in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, for God is life. Life perfected as we continue our journey now Romans 8:30 says, those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. One day, perhaps soon, we'll be in our Lord's presence with him. And the Bible says, with him, but not, and like him, which is hard to understand. One is described, and these are familiar terms, but three stages of life for a born-again believer in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, sanctification, and glorification. And how that we're saved from the penalty of sin in and through the shed blood of our Savior. We're being saved from the power of sin, which is sanctification, being set apart. Be holy, as God's word says, be holy as I am holy. Through his word, through his spirit. And one day, perhaps soon, we'll be saved from the very presence of sin, glorification. Life given by God is a wonderful gift, isn't it? Our physical lives, born into a world that he created, many blessings. Our spiritual life, reborn from above, looking forward to being with our Savior in the world to come. For all eternity, we'll experience our new lives. Life that was once lost, again, will be eternal. I came across a song by James Cleveland. I guess the title is God Is. I never really made that clear and didn't get a tune, so I'll just read this as we close. It says, God is my protection. God is my all in all. God is my light in darkness. God is, he is my all in all. God is my joy in time of sorrow. God is my all in all. God is my today and tomorrow. God, my God, is my all in all.